Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Two-Pack Podcast.
Experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at ticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Two-Pack Podcast. It has been, I think, 5 weeks since our last go round. So we're chomping at the bit, excited to get back at it. And I, of course, am excited to be joined by my co-host, Miss Erin Underwood. Erin, how are you?
Good. How are you? Has it really been 5 weeks?
I'm doing great.
Since we've done this?
I think so, because it was like June 30th. So yeah, it's about 5 weeks.
Yeah, they always say the off season goes by slow, but that went by really fast.
Yeah, it did. Well, and as you all know, we're both very busy in our dual roles. Besides this, I wish this was a full-time job, but we both have our full-time jobs. And Erin, I know yours is very, very busy and is constantly changing, and it kind of dictated by what's going on in the world. So it is great to be back at it. And now that we're into the preseason and the training camp has kicked off and we're about to have a preseason game tomorrow, we're recording this on Wednesday. There's a lot to talk about, so let's jump right in, shall we? So let's start with a little around-the-league news, and I think the obvious big topic, especially for Packers fans, because he was so near and dear to their heart for many years as a Chicago Bear, was the Miami Dolphins signing Jay Cutler. Well, and, you know, it's funny, I recorded Pulse last night, and Jacob referred to Jay Cutler as the greatest quarterback in Packers history, which is, in a way, kind of,
yep,
almost kind of true, tongue-in-cheek. So Ryan Tannehill suffers an injury. Jay Cutler is the Miami Dolphin. And no surprise there from the standpoint of Adam Gase being the head coach of the Dolphins and having familiarity with Cutler. Cutler had his best season statistically when Gase was the offensive coordinator. So that's no surprise. But then there's always the question of the fact that Colin Kaepernick still has not been signed. So kind of a two-pronged thing here. The first thing is, what was your reaction to Cutler to – the Dolphins, and are you upset that we're not going to get a chance to hear him be apathetic in the announcer's booth this season? And then what are your thoughts as far as Cutler over Kaepernick as it relates to his signing with the Dolphins?
I mean, like you said, I think Cutler is a good fit for Miami, and it's interesting because he said a lot of the reason that he decided to come out of retirement, he was going back and forth with it, I think he said all weekend, because he was really looking forward to actually being in the booth. His wife had to convince him to get back into playing football, which, I mean, I guess he's a good fit for Miami. I don't think I wouldn't say he's any worse than Tannehill. He's probably, if anything, almost an improvement from Tannehill. They didn't look like they were going anywhere with him. So I think for that team, Cutler is definitely a good fit. I'm sad that he won't be playing in our division, because I do always love, like you said, playing against him, getting a couple interceptions from him. But I think he's a good fit there. It makes sense. It'll be interesting. I think he's on a $10 million contract. I think it's up to $13 million with incentives. So, you know, if halfway through the season he's not doing anything and they need to switch over to Matt Moore, I don't really think they're losing anything. So with that being said, yes, that's a good situation for him. But then you said Kaepernick, of course, like, Kaepernick would not have been a fit in Miami, so it's not really even a question of whether or not he should go there, but is it a question of, like, he should go somewhere else? I absolutely think so. You know, people are still talking about bringing back Johnny Manziel and RG3. It's like, if you're going to put those guys in the conversation, you still need to be considering Kaepernick. I don't know about you, but what I would like to see personally, where I think he's a good fit, is probably the Ravens. I know he's familiarity with Jim Harbaugh and the Harbaugh family, and I know he's had multiple conversations with that team, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see him go there. It is really sad, though, that we're starting the preseason now and Kaepernick still doesn't have a contract, even though there are so many teams who are looking for a quarterback. So I'm still hopeful. I've been back and forth on Kaepernick, but I would say at this point I'm team Kaepernick and hoping that he can get somewhere.
Well, and don't forget, Tim Tebow was another name that I heard seriously
mm-hmm.
mulled
right.
over. And Tebow, really, of all those names, really stands out the most. If anybody wanted to argue against the fact that there is true collusion going on amongst NFL owners towards Kaepernick, considering Tim Tebow as an option over Kaepernick, I think kind of really dilutes that argument quite a bit. So, and I saw something today on Twitter, and I don't know how official it was, about Kaepernick's team is intentionally kind of hiding discussions between he and other teams because they want to try to drive up his market and try to bring him more money, which I'm not exactly sure how you make more not playing for a team, but then also obviously it kind of, you know, promotes a little bit more of that that argument and that cause that I think he's trying to stand up for or actually sit down for in the first mm-hmm. place. So it's you know, this is a discussion that's definitely going to linger. It won't go away. It's going to be there through the season, I think, as long as Kaepernick's not on a team. And the Ravens seemed like a possible option, and there was some interest there, some legitimate interest. And then the owner, Steve Biscotti, did some outreach to fans and really wanted to kind of gauge everything. And I just don't know what to make of this whole thing. He's obviously more talented than some of these other quarterbacks on rosters, especially the 2 and 3s around the league. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think it's pretty obvious that some teams just don't want to deal with the distraction, whether it's right or wrong. And so I'm sure we'll probably revisit this thing before it's all said and done. But Jay Cutler is back in the NFL, and yes, unfortunately, he's not in the NFC North. So and it's a 1-year deal. The Packers are scheduled to play the Dolphins next year at Lambeau Field, but who knows if Cutler will still be with the Dolphins at that time. So, and then the other interesting thing about this to follow is what will happen with Tannehill, because he's got that big contract, and I think the way it was structured, this might kind of lend itself to Miami being able to do something else if they choose. If they choose to go in a different direction. So definitely something to keep an eye on. But like I mentioned at the beginning, we actually have some real Packers stuff to talk about. There's actually some Packers news that I want to talk about before we get into the training camp discussions, and that is the release of defensive lineman LaTroy Guyon. And I think the thing I wanted to talk about this or talk through this with you, Aaron, is that If this was Mike Daniels, first of all, I don't think Mike Daniels would put himself in this situation. That's the reason why he's Mike Daniels, first of all. But secondly, if this were Mike Daniels, I don't think he's getting cut. And so uh-huh. we've seen some examples of players who have gotten into trouble off the field. They still have a job. There's other players who have been accused of trouble, been absolved of it, and don't have jobs. So I guess the question is it fair or – and is it just such as life in the NFL, or do we have a legitimate problem here?
I mean, you're right. If this was someone like Mike Daniels or someone who was contributing a lot to the team, it would be an entirely different situation because Guyon wasn't somebody who he's had problems in the past. And that's the issue, is that the Packers right now, especially on defense, are looking for people that they can trust. And if you have a guy who is a possible liability halfway through the season and you're not going to have him on the roster anymore, now you have to make up for that spot. So I think that with the Packers right now, the way that they stand, if he was on a different team, it might be a different situation. But I think with the Packers, if you have issues, they don't have a lot of tolerance. They're kind of like the Patriots in that way. They don't have a lot of tolerance for off-field issues, especially when you've offended multiple times. But with that being said, I do think if it was someone like Mike Daniels or someone who was a contributor and a starter, they would give a little bit more leniency. And you kind of see that around the league too. If you look at someone like Ezekiel Elliott, who's had multiple off-field issues, although nothing really legally standing except for I think it's a sexual assault case that he's going through right now or something along those lines, but never actually tried for it. They give a little bit more leniency just because those are your franchise guys. So is it fair necessarily? No, but that's the way football is. You know, it is what it is. It's the name of the game. And when you play football, you know, you cannot be smoking weed, even though it's legal in some states. You can't be driving around drunk because people have eyes on you. You can't be doing all those extra things that a normal person, you know, or a seemingly normal in, you know, their lifespan. But as a football player, no, you just can't be doing that stuff. So it's not fair, but I think it is what it is.
Yeah, and that was kind of my next question was, these are a lot of times, especially young athletes coming right out of college. I mean, I remember what I was like when I came out of college, and I'm sure you do as well. And is it really fair? I mean, I guess it's fair because rules are rules and they have to either comply with them or face the consequences. Like you said, as far as the weed thing goes, that's a really interesting one because states are legalizing it, but it's not allowed in the NFL. So, I mean, is it realistic to ask that of these players? And I guess I'm in agreement there. I think the teams have to do what's in their best interest. And obviously some of these things could really put a player and other people in some serious harm, especially driving under the influence. Those are the kind of things that have led to some serious accidents and people's death before. And obviously you don't want to ever hear about that in any situation, especially when it comes to a professional athlete or a football team. There's just so much, they just have so much to lose. And so that's kind of brings it back around to what we hear about how the NFL tries to help these guys integrate into the NFL and avoid some of the pitfalls that some of these other guys have dealt with in the past. You know, learning from someone else's mistake, I think, is one of the most valuable lessons you can learn in life because you don't have to suffer all of the consequences and the negativity from it. But in Guyon's case, I think it was time for the Packers to do what they did. It was a multiple time infraction, and obviously there's a pattern there. When he was healthy and on the field, I think he was effective in spurts. He was really good the first year that he was with Green Bay in 2014, that season that could have been a lot more magical than it ended up being. But I think it was time for the team to move on, and the fact that they're a little light at the defensive line also speaks volumes to how the team views him and what they felt they needed to do to kind of deal with that situation. So mm-hmm. And we move on to training camp and the guys that are still with the team. And, you know, the first thing that happens every year when training camp breaks, the first couple practices, is everyone's following Twitter. The beat writers are reporting out on who's doing what in practice, who made what play. And you start to hear names surface more and more. And those guys tend to get momentum around their reputation and what they're doing. Obviously, Josh Jones, the rookie safety/linebacker, is one of them. Malachi Dupree, the wide receiver, I've heard a lot about. I'm hearing Trevor Davis's name, Quentin Rollins. So is this the whole overreaction you hear from fans? Is this something that you see as, hey, listen, it's the fans' right to get excited and it's just them being positive about their team? Or do you find it at all any kind of off-putting or annoying?
No, I think it's fun. Honestly, it's what we have to go on right now, other than like their college reels for these rookie guys. Like, it's honestly just kind of fun to see and project where guys are going to go, especially when you hear someone like Aaron Rodgers saying he's excited about somebody. That definitely gets me excited. If he is talking about somebody who's standing out to him, that's the guy that I'm definitely watching. So I think it's kind of fun. You know, we can speculate all we want, and then as soon as the preseason comes, it could be entirely different, but it's what we have to go on right now. So I think it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, and I'd say, to your point, I think it also depends on who's making the comment. Like, if it's Aaron mm-hmm. Rodgers, if we're hearing it from 12, then I think there's something to it as an offensive player, especially a receiver. So, because we know how important that chemistry is between he and his pass catchers, and it's just kind of something that we've come to learn over the decade, almost 10 years, that Rodgers has been the starter for the Packers. So we talked a little bit about Mike Daniels. Sounds like he and David Bakhtiari have been kind of jawing at each other, you know, in kind of a mm-hmm. fun, playful way during practice. But Daniels has really been trying to, over the last couple of years, encourage that nasty dog-like mentality on defense. He wants to be a defense that other teams don't want to face, that, you know, they come in almost up in the on the scoreboard from a mental standpoint because the other teams just really don't want to have to face their prowess. So we're talking about the Packers trying to become an elite team, which is obviously something they need to do if they want to reach a Super Bowl and win a championship. So in your opinion, Aaron, how important is that swagger and that kind of, I guess, that mentality to a team becoming elite? Do you think there's something to be said about attitude in addition to skill and ability, or do you think that's all just a bunch of hot air?
Yeah, I think so. Unfortunately for me, I never got the opportunity to play football. If I could go back in my life, that's probably something I would try to do differently if I had the opportunity. So for me to say that, you know, in the locker room, it really matters a lot, I can't really say because I've only been in a handful of locker rooms, you know, on the reporting side of things. But I think it's kind of fun to watch. I know Mike Daniels and Martellus Bennett have a really good relationship. They go back and forth, and they kind of are the hype men, I guess you want to say, in the locker room, which I think is kind of fun to bring the team together. We look at the 49ers a couple years ago. They essentially fell apart because they just didn't have good locker room communication. You know, the locker room just kind of fell apart, and the trust wasn't, if you can't trust your teammates, you know, what are you going to do? So I think that piece of it is definitely really important. And also it just kind of creates a more fun atmosphere, especially when you have someone like Mike Daniels and Martellus Bennett, who are standout. They're more standout personalities opposed to other players. Watching them from a fan perspective is really cool too. I don't know if you got a chance. Did you watch Hard Knocks at all last night when they were talking about some of the guys who were standing out? And there was one player on there who I can't remember his name. I think Riley Bulla was his name. And he was just really loud and was like talking a whole lot. And, you know, the coach even called him out and said, "Hey, I really like this guy because he's out here and he's being a leader and he's talking and he's being vocal." And I think that's kind of what they're looking for. So for the Packers, I think it's definitely important, and it brings something extra to the game.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see it, but I'll watch it back. I enjoy watching that show, and you know, just getting to see behind the scenes is kind of fun. And that's the things that you don't see that are a little bit more raw and real, I think, are the funnest parts about learning about the NFL and watching. So I always enjoy that for sure. I think it's important. I think you have to have a little bit of that attitude, and especially because Mike McCarthy's not really that guy. He's not that rah-rah type of guy. He kind of leads in a different way. So I think it's good to have other voices that come in and kind of motivate the team. Like you said, kind of a hype man. You know, we all kind of love that guy at the concert, right? So I can totally relate to that for sure. And I just kind of more subscribe to that theory. I'm definitely more of that type of person when I play sports in general, and I get pretty pumped up just watching games on TV. So, you know, I relate to that. I know not everybody does, but I think it's a good thing on any level. I don't see anything bad coming out of it, and obviously these guys are tight and they're teammates. So kind of staying on the defensive side of the ball.
I think, too, it also, like, depends on the team, too. You know, if you look at, like, the Packers were kind of seen as more of, like, a traditional team, and I think it's not something that people really expect to see. You know, they think of us as a very, like, I don't want to say, like, generic, but a very traditional team. You expect kind of stuff like this from someone like, you know, the Raiders, who are a little bit louder and their fans are a little bit more active like that. Or I shouldn't say active, but just louder in general. But I think now things are kind of changing when we're getting these players who are a little bit more, who have a little bit of a bigger personality. So, yeah, it's definitely, like, it's fun. I'm enjoying it. And I think I would love to see personally Hard Knocks Green Bay. I don't know about you, but I think that would be kind of fun.
Wouldn't we all? And I think the Packers don't want that. I mean, you just think about what we know about the front office and how they operate. I'm sure the last thing they want, especially McCarthy, is a bunch of cameras following them around. But and I think Ted
he would not have
I think
that.
Ted Thompson actually I think Thompson addressed it a couple of years ago and just said that that moment where they're cutting players is very private moment he wouldn't want on camera. And he just, you know, because he was a former player, he was cut at one point, and he definitely wouldn't want that aired all over TV. So I would love it. I don't necessarily think it's gonna happen. I mean, you make a good point about certain franchises that have that reputation. Like, I think about the Jets. They had the Geno Smith incident where he got punched in the face by one of his teammates. I think Brandon Marshall, I think actually Brandon Marshall's issue in the locker room was when he was with the Bears, and things kind of blew up there, and they had some issues. And you talked about the 49ers, and, you know, I'm just glad that the Packers aren't one of those teams, because you kind of start to believe some of that negative hype too, and it's just not good for the mentality. So I think this team is going to be mentally ready, and that's something I'd like to hear, because I think it's been the mental side of things that's kind of undone them, if it wasn't injuries at the end of the season in the playoffs. So fingers crossed that they can keep themselves together on a mental level and definitely not have to endure a 4-game losing streak like they did last year and get on that downslope. So I was looking at some of the other guys that have stood out in camp. Actually, I think I mentioned Quentin Rollins a little bit earlier and heard his name a lot. In fact, I think he's kind of penciled in as the starter on the other side of Devon House, with House kind of battling a hamstring injury, hopefully not anything too serious. So those two guys on the outside, and then you've got Demarius Randle that's going to slide inside to the slot. So this is something I talked about with Jacob on Pulse, which is is this move going to be kind of a salvage for Demarius Randle? Because Randle had some issues with his coverage. He had injury issues last year. Quentin Rollins was also injured. I said I think Rollins' injury was a little more of a reason why he regressed in year two, but it's good to see him bounce back. I guess maybe more so on the Demaryius Randle. Are you team Randle, or do you still have quite a few questions about whether or not he's going to be able to make this transition and if it's going to help him on that defense?
I think it right now kind of TBD, I guess I would say. All depends on how he is in the preseason. I know right now they're just kind of trying things, so I wouldn't be surprised if he can make it work. But last year was such a mess back in the secondary that I honestly am kind of open at this point to seeing whatever they can do. And I guess, yeah, we'll see how it goes in the preseason, but TBD.
Yeah, and once they get the pads on. I mean, and another one where there's a lot of question marks, too, would be Ty Montgomery. And he's answered a lot of these questions early in training camp. He looks good so far. And I know it's been a while, but, you know, a while back he made the comment about his take on boxer Floyd Mayweather, and he said he doesn't condone what Mayweather has done in some of his past incidents, but he respects him as a boxer. And, of course, anytime you say something like that, there's always a lot of reaction from the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
I personally thought he handled it fine. It's his opinion. And I don't see him as being disrespectful to women or being disrespectful to relationships or not acknowledging domestic violence. Aaron, I don't know what your take on that whole thing was, but I thought it was, you know, kind of much ado about nothing. And it did kind of die out pretty quickly. But, you know, again, it's one of those hot button topics because there unfortunately have been a few NFL players who have had some problems with domestic violence. So when that came through or when you saw that, what was your immediate thought?
I think you're right. He handled it well. If it was me, I probably just wouldn't have sang at all, but, you know, it's not me. So I think it's a tricky situation because Mayweather, Conor McGregor obviously is a huge topic right now all over sports. But I think that, you know, I guess he's right. If I have to pick a side, I guess I would say that he's right, that you can support him as a boxer and just not support the things that he does, because we support a lot of players on the field who have done things in the past that aren't necessarily, you know, the greatest things that they should be doing, but we go out there and we cheer for him every day. So, I mean, one case that I can think of, a very prominent one, is Brett Favre and the issues that he had with the painkiller abuse. So it's kind of one of those things. It's like, we still cheer for Favre every Sunday, or we did cheer for Favre, even though he was doing things behind the scenes that weren't really likable by any standard. But going back to what he said, though, I think that, he handled it well. It's a Twitter feud and people like to blow up things on Twitter a little bit bigger than they should be. But again, he probably shouldn't have said anything at all, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it probably right, just given the fact that, you know, he is an athlete and we do have a set of more critical eyes on him. But, you know, you also want to be able to speak your mind, and that's what kind of the whole foundation of America is built on, is freedom of speech. But, you know, obviously everyone then has the right to share their reaction and their opinion as well. So hopefully didn't turn into anything too incredibly big. But we'll get a chance to see, I think – well, I don't know if we'll see Montgomery on the field tomorrow or not. It sounds like quite a few of the starters are probably going to sit out quite a bit of the preseason just as a precaution. But there's an actual game tomorrow, or not a game, but they'll be in pads. And so I guess the simple question is, now that we're going to get to see some of these guys, especially the rookies, for the first time, what are you most excited about and what are you most worried about in terms of this game against the Eagles?
Most excited, definitely seeing the rookies, especially the guys that we, you know, just drafted. I'm really excited to see how our secondary looks. One guy I know that I have that I think a lot of people are watching is Jeff Janis, because with the wide receiver core right now being so stacked, or seemingly stacked, as long as there's no injuries, please, he's definitely going to be one who is on the roster bubble and could get cut. So I'll be watching him. As far as nervous about injuries, there was an interview with Jordy Nelson, I think it was earlier this week, and he had said the best game he ever had was the game where he got hurt. So he's just hoping to not have a good game in the preseason. And I'm kind of the same way. Like you said, I would prefer not to see a lot of our starters out there, because this year we're looking good and people are looking healthy, and we need to stay that way, because that's been our plague in the past, as we get injuries and then there's no depth. So if we can just stay healthy through the preseason, get through, you know, a couple of weeks with no issues, I think we'll be set.
Yeah, and it's been my mantra for a long time. It's the worrisome thing for me is injuries. You just never can predict when they're going to happen, and sometimes you get the non-contact type too. So it's not even about were they out on the field. It's like, oh, they stretched wrong, they warmed up wrong. We all saw what happened to Teddy Bridgewater last summer. So that's my worry. And then the thing I'm most excited about is it's the rookies. I want to see how these rookies look. And you've got a running back position that's pretty crowded. You got three rookies in the backfield there. Ty Montgomery's obviously going to need somebody alongside him or another body or two. And the special teams, too, just to see who stands out. I know Trevor Davis has been working on punt return, and so is he going to be effective? He had his struggles last year as a receiver, but does he take a leap forward, and his special teams kind of his ticket? So I think that's going to be a fun thing to watch and to see. So it's just good to get the preseason kicked off and have an actual game. I agree with you about Jordy. I thought that was kind of funny that – you know, that was a very devastating time. I remember that day, and it was my son's second birthday, actually, that whole thing went down on, too. So it was like, oh, I was trying to keep my spirits up for him. But as you're watching throughout the day, because it started out with, well, he's walking off the field on his own, it should be okay. And then by the middle of the day, it was like, nope, it's an ACL. And it was like, oh, that just changes the complexion of the season. So fingers crossed nobody gets hurt. You kind of mentioned –
Did I ever tell you the story of what happened the day that Jordy got hurt? What happened with me? Oh, it was so bad. We were doing our fantasy draft, and I had drafted Jordy in the second round. And unfortunately, the only time that we could do it was, I think he got injured in the third preseason game, I think it was. And that was the only time that we could do the draft, even though I always like to wait until after the preseason because things like this happen. So I drafted Jordy in the second round. We get down to the 10th round. And someone goes, oh, Jordy Nelson is hurt. And I was like, excuse me? No. Please tell me that's a lie. And then turns out Jordy Nelson was out for the entire season. So it messed up my entire draft. But it was devastating. Devastating on two ends, not just as a Packer fan, but as a fantasy football player, too. I was very devastated.
They didn't give you a mulligan and let you pick somebody else?
Yes. I can't remember who I picked up. I think it was who did I end up taking? I can't remember anymore. But whoever it was ended up being a bust. So it was a bad season for me after that. Although I did have Drew Brees as my quarterback.
Well, and that's
so that
tough, too, because if you pick him in an early round, it's not like you can go back and steal a player away. It's not like a white elephant
right.
thing where you can, like, steal a player away from somebody else, you know?
Oh, no. We were in round 10. There was nobody left at that point. So I was like, well, just going to do the best I can, I guess, and try to trade for someone in a couple weeks. But, yeah, it was a very sad day for me.
Well, I'm sure there was probably one guy available, and that would be one Jeff Janis. I don't know if you ended up taking him or not, but I'm sure he was on the board in the 10th round.
He probably was. I don't think I took him, but I definitely think he was on the board. Yeah.
Well, so that's kind of one of my other questions is who could end up being a surprise cut this preseason? And he's kind of the guy that I think of when I think of a veteran that might – end up getting cut. And I do think it would be a surprise. A lot of people who would say, oh, well, he's never done anything. But, I mean, he's a special teams contributor. And if you look at the habits of this team and this coaching staff, they kind of tend to keep guys that are useful in some capacity. So, you know, the question is special teams enough for him to keep his roster spot? I don't know. And then you've got D'Angelo Yancey and Malachi Dupree trying to edge their way in. Trevor Davis looks like he's going to end up on the depth chart, if not for only for his special teams contribution. So,
right.
I guess Janis is my name. I don't know if do you have a veteran that you think could end up being a surprise cut that isn't Janis, or if it is, maybe kind of anything to add?
Yeah, he's the one that I was kind of picking as the biggest standout for a veteran who could be cut. And you make a good point. Like, Janis could be good on special teams, and when he is on the field, he is a good contributor. But the problem is this year, it's just the wide receiver group is so stacked, especially since we drafted – you know, a couple of guys. And like you said, Trevor Davis is now a little bit better. And unfortunately, Jeff Janis isn't the biggest or the fastest. So he's kind of the odd man out when it comes to selecting who's going to be on the field. But yeah, he's the guy that I would pick too.
Yeah. And I'm almost glad to hear that it isn't a second person. It's like, you want to hang on, cause I feel like they've got a good core of veterans that you don't want to see any of them not make the team unless it's, you know, someone like a Don Barclay. If a rookie offensive lineman steps up and it's time for them to unseat Barclay, as much as I think he's good for depth, so be it. But if it was somebody else, I mean, let's definitely not have another Josh Sitton situation if we can avoid that this year. That would be kind of nice. That was uh, that was beyond shocking last year, and especially the timing of it. So let's hope that nothing like that goes down again this year. But one guy that will definitely not be getting released or cut is Aaron Rodgers, obviously. Since the last time we did a show, he has talked a little bit about his career and the timing of it, and he talked about being on the back nine of his career, which I'd like to think if he is, he's kind of at the beginning of the back nine versus the end of it. And then
he's on the 11th
this past
hole,
week, he talked – Yeah, I hope. Well, I would say hopefully he's on the 10th. But, you know, if he truly – I mean, he did say he wants to finish his career as a Green Bay Packer and he wants to play until he's 40. So we all remember the summer of 2008. So the question is how likely is it really for Aaron Rodgers to finish out his career as a Packer? I think there's a lot of time and it's too early to really answer that question. But at some point in every athlete's career, and this includes the Hall of Famers and the greats, the rubber meets the road between what they have to offer – And what the team needs. So what was your thought about, I mean, it's obviously a great thought, and we hope it comes to fruition, but do you really think that this is a situation where we avoid what happened with Favre, and can you see Rodgers playing late into his 30s and still wearing green and gold?
I think the biggest factor here is going to be health. You look at, like, Tony Romo, who the Cowboys wanted to continue to play, even though he was hurt so badly that they were basically putting him out there, duct taping him up and just putting him out there because they wanted him on the field so bad. So I think that's a possible situation where it's going to be they just want Rodgers out there, but unfortunately he's too injured to play and they have to go to somebody else. I don't think it's going to be a Favre situation where, at least I hope not. Well, okay, you know, I hope so and I hope not. I hope that we do have somebody at backup who is good enough to take the place of Aaron Rodgers, but I also hope for the sake of Aaron Rodgers and for the loyalty that we have to him that we aren't just – you know, saying your time is up, you know, you got to go and we got to put someone else in. The most likely situation, the thing that I see is either he retires as a Packer, he goes out at age 39 or 40, which would be, and he's playing great up until then, or he gets injured somewhere along the line. That's an injury that he can't recover from. I'm hoping it's the first scenario where he just can play well all the way up until he's 39 or 40 and win at least one more Super Bowl for us. That would be my thought on that.
Just hearing you say that still drops my heart into my stomach. It's like, God, I don't even want to think about that whole possibility of Aaron Rodgers getting hurt. But that takes me back to that awful Monday night in 2013 where he broke his collarbone, and it was like, oh my gosh, like you just saw the season like disappear right before your eyes. But then obviously we know things changed a little bit later on. But you know, the other thing too is I would love to see Rodgers continue to play with the Packers, but I'm going to be selfish and I'm going to be flat out and very blunt and honest with you. If the Packers don't win a championship with him at quarterback, and I get it's a team sport and it's not just about the quarterback, but if they don't win a championship with him because they didn't win a second with Favre, they got to another Super Bowl, I think it's going to be a huge disappointment. And so then that brings me to kind of my last point of our show today, which is everybody talks about Tom Brady being the GOAT because he's got five Super Bowls under his belt and his Patriots teams have won five championships. So my question is, the burning debate is, first of all, how important are Super Bowls to a quarterback's legacy? Is this really a valid argument? Does it really diminish the career of a guy like a Dan Marino, for example? And then I also want to get your take, Aaron, on wins as a quarterback stat, whether or not you think it's valid or not.
Yeah, I think, first of all, just thinking about the fact that Tom Brady has five Super Bowls, every time I hear that, it just blows me away. That's just so crazy. But this is a debate that I have with people at Bleacher Report all the time, is how important is it for Aaron Rodgers to get a second Super Bowl in order to be considered a Hall of Fame candidate and one of the best quarterbacks of our time? I go back and forth. I think it's important. I think because he's still getting to the playoffs every year and getting pretty far into the playoffs, that definitely plays a huge part of it. If he doesn't win another Super Bowl but continues to play in the playoffs, I could still see him getting in the Hall of Fame, and he's still going to be considered an NFL great. But to your question, how important are wins to his legacy? I'm going to say they're very important, just because there's really not a whole lot else to go off of. You know, if you're not winning games, that's kind of what people look at. Maybe not now, maybe 5 years from now, we're still going to say, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's a great quarterback, but 40 years from now, they're going to be looking at how many games did he win? How many Super Bowls did he have? And that's what's going to be determining as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. So in my opinion, yeah, I think it's pretty important that he gets at least one more Super Bowl and just continues to go to the playoffs every year.
I agree. It's never going to stop being important to fans that quarterbacks are part of a winning team. But then I use this 3 years ago, the Super Bowl, where Malcolm Butler makes the interception on the goal line and the Patriots win a championship. Tom Brady's on the sidelines. He's not even in the game. So he
Correct.
Had to do
yeah.
what he had to do to get the Patriots to that point. Obviously, he was a very important part of the offensive success that that team had, but their defense stepped up and kind of won it in the end. So that's one of the reasons why I am not a huge fan of quarterback wins as a stat, but I do think, to your point, it's not going away. It's something people are always going to use as a measuring stick. We know it's the most mm-hmm. important position on the field. It's the one the teams spend the most money on, and so it's always going to kind of come off as though they do get wins, kind of like pitchers in baseball. You get a one-loss record, where it's a little bit different, though, because you're kind of man-to-man, pitcher-on-batter, where a quarterback is one of 11 guys on the field. So it's an
yeah.
interesting debate. I think it's one that'll continue on, but I agree. I think if Rodgers gets one more, at least in the hearts of Packers fans, he's got two Super Bowls. He equals Bart Starr. Brett Favre never did that. I think it kind of settles a lot of debates about the whole those that want to argue Favre over Rodgers, even though they're completely different players. And I think we're just lucky to have had both and have had so many years of superb quarterback play. And I keep trying to think ahead, and I'm like, what is life going to be like when Rodgers is gone? And if the God, the stars don't line up and we don't get a great quarterback sitting behind Rodgers that's ready to go. I don't know what life is going to be like.
Yeah. I think you brought up an interesting point too. It's kind of like you said Tom Brady was on the sidelines when they won that Super Bowl a couple years ago. I was listening to something today, and it was another podcast, but they said that a lot of times when people make the Hall of Fame, especially at the quarterback position, it's just right place, right time. You know, you had good coaching, you had good receivers around you, you just kind of got lucky a couple of times, and maybe you were just in the right place at the right time. I think Aaron Rodgers has maybe been in the wrong place at the wrong time a few times with the Packers, just because our defense has been very mediocre and held us back, I think, from winning championships. So if I guess you're right. It is a team. Wins maybe are not as important as I was thinking, because the winning is the team effort. You know, it's not just Aaron Rodgers. It is the defense. It is the secondary. It is the receivers. It is the running back. So special teams, all of that matters. So I guess, yeah, it could go either way. I think you're right. Maybe.
Well, and if you look at, I love it. Hey, got to hedge it a little bit in there, maybe, at the end, right?
maybe you're
well,
right.
Well, but
we'll see.
Well, the Packers have lost so many games with Aaron Rodgers standing on the sideline because the defense couldn't mm-hmm. get a stop in overtime or in the playoffs. And, we can go on and on and on about it, but I think it's something that has to be taken into consideration and obviously considered. And hopefully some of those questions get answered this very season. I think this team is primed to do some very special things. So before we let you go, to thank our sponsor, Ticket King, for all of your ticket needs. Obviously, if you're going to a Packers game at Lambeau Field, they're probably one of your only options to get tickets. So definitely please consider the ticketking.com for your ticket needs and ticket options. And Aaron, before we cut it loose here, anything else to add for Packerland before we get ready to plan episode number 4?
No. Do you have any big plans for the game tomorrow? Anything exciting happening?
No, not really. I don't get it here. I'm not going to get it live. So I'm just going to be pining and waiting for the NFL network version of it, so I can at least see some of these guys. But the nice thing is it usually comes out at like 2 a.m. So I can just DVR it, and then I can just whip right through the commercials. I don't have to sit through any of those. So,
perfect.
It should be good. But like I said, game action. It'll be very good to mm-hmm. very good to see. I know you'll be keeping tabs on it closely because that's kind of your job. So
yeah.
I'm glad we got a chance to do this.
Very excited.
And thanks for making some time and a great chat. So thank you, everybody. And don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Jason Perrone, and Aaron is at Aaron B. Underwood. Please give us a follow on Twitter. And until next time, thank you so much for listening to the 2-Pack Podcast.
This has been another episode of the 2-Pack Podcast.
Want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay. Or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.